This is Purple Radio on demand.
Hello and welcome back to the second episode of the Girls Are Loud podcast. Last week we spoke about the Golden Globes and all the controversy that came with that. And this week we are going to be talking about some TikTok trends, specifically like girl dinner, girl maths and things like that.
And if you have absolutely no idea what we're talking about, we're going to play you some clips of examples of the girl trend on TikTok.
So this is an example of girl dinner. Like, this is the TikTok sound. I'll just play it.
This is my meal. I call this girl dinner. Girl dinner. Girl dinner. Girl dinner.
Girl dinner.
This is my meal.
And basically, it just shows girls, well, making the dinner, but it's a specific type of dinner, so a lot of them were like, I mean, I'd call it picky bits, you know, like,
yeah, like randomly, like, curated
some strawberries and a breadstick and like a biscuit, a cracker. And
there were also some funny ones. It's like my friend made one and she was just like taking like a handful of cheese out of the packet, like the outside first.
And then some of the girl maths trends, they were, for example, it'd be women saying, oh, if you pay with cash, that means it's free. Or if I paid for it a year ago, like if you paid for a concert a year ago, it's free now. And things like that. So they're kind of what we're going to be talking about today.
And also there were some wider context or wider trends of the girl, like for the girls and categorising of girls, things like that. And also why this trend has come about, whether we think it's a good thing or a bad thing. So yeah, buckle up.
So an example of like some of the sub-trends that have come out of this is like for the girls. So people would be saying, oh, this is World War II explained for the girls. Or why can't we print more money explained for the girls? And it'd be videos usually from other women explaining these complicated topics, but in a bit of a, not dehumanising, but like
belittling
way, yeah. And it'd explain them really simplistically and compare it to things like, I can't think of an example right now, but it'd compare them to things like shopping, like you need to buy some new makeup, but you've already got this much makeup, to try explain the economy. So another way that the trend developed was saying things like gym hacks for the girls or period pain hacks for the girls. It was things that were specific to women to help women rather than like belittling their knowledge of things. It was kind of more wearing a cute little club, this is just for the girls and we can help each other.
Yeah, so it had a nicer angle than being somewhat belittling. But we'll talk about the pros and cons. But on more sub-trends, we also had, I think this is probably a lot older than the recent like girl dinner girls. This goes back, I think, a long time.
Yeah.
The idea of like categorising different types of girls. So you'd have like gym girl, the clean girl aesthetic, the dirty girl thing, the cook, how do you say it?
I think it's coquette
girl.
Which is like Lana Del Rey girls.
And then like the oldest one is obviously that girl, like the girl who's like so on top of her life and like really, I don't know, admirable in that sense. But that in itself can be considered a girl trend because, especially because some of them like become back into fashion at certain points. I remember like in the new year you always have like become that girl this year.
Yeah.
And like they always resurface in some way. And then there was that trend where it was like clean girl aesthetic and it was people just taking the mic and posting like them doing disgusting things. But that's definitely a sub-trend.
So a running trend through these trends basically is the label of girl, and all of them say girl, none of them say women. And I think that's quite an important thing to think about, because a lot of the time these trends are talking about women. It's not like they're talking about young girls, they're talking about young women. It's usually women like in their 20s saying this. So why is everything labelled girl?
So in like talking about this and also researching it for the podcast, I found this interesting essay by Robin Wasserman, who wrote that, namely, a girl's story is about the transition from girlhood to womanhood. That is, from being someone to being someone's wife, someone's mother, or whatever, whether that's the direction their trajectory goes or not. The protagonist of The Girl on the Train, for instance, is a wife raised by marriage once she's no longer a wife. She's no one at all. Like the girls of girls, she is unmoored. She's the girl on the train because everything woman about her has been stripped away. So it's basically this idea that it's in the context of the trends, I feel like it justifies or contextualizes this idea of being in between sort of maturity development. So yeah. It's like they are sort of saying, oh, we do this because we're not actually like completely mature women yet. Yeah. So like taking a handful of cheese and calling it girl dinner is like it's a joke because you're still like a child. I think it sort of explains some behaviors. That's what they mean.
Yeah, and especially with the gym girl, the clean girl, that girl, this is a time in women's lives where they're finding themselves. They don't know exactly who they are yet, and all of these, there's so many aesthetics that you can find on TikTok, and it's like every week a new one's coming up. Like, when I saw this week, it was like the mob wife aesthetic. Have you seen that?
What?
Yeah, that's a big one now. Like, red nails and, like, drinking wine and
fur coats.
Yeah. But anyway, that's just another example. And I feel like all these different aesthetics that are so readily available to us, that does work with the name girl, because like when you're a young girl, you try all these things, and now it's like dress up but real life, because this is like you choosing how you want to live your life.
That's so interesting. So it's almost like the aesthetics to us seem like prospective life paths, and because they're prospective, we still see ourselves as like as younger than we actually are. Yeah. That's really interesting. But what's perhaps most interesting is actually why these trends have become so much bigger, because I was saying earlier that like the idea of categorizing it, the girl trend has always been around, but why like in the last year has it been so massive? And if you look it up, it's like 2023 was the year of the girl and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, so why did that happen? So the first reason, which I thought was really interesting, that they wrote about, was the idea of marketing. So it was like invented and utilized as like a way of branding things and selling goods. So like it would be like, oh, for the girls, and then they'd like attach like a, let's say, a product that like that could be bought by anyone, but because it was like under the girl trend, it probably received a lot more traction on TikTok or Instagram, whatever, than it would just without it.
Yeah, like you see a lot of hauls, and it's like Amazon essentials for the girls, and it's something like a water bottle or like a remote control holder or something. It's random stuff that people probably don't need, but women, I mean, not just women, but people now get commission off of TikTok when they sell stuff on TikTok shop. So I feel like using for the girls makes women feel like, oh, this is something that I need to be that girl. And it's like something I need to be cool.
And like to expand on that, there was also like a note from businesses, and especially small businesses, they'd see which girl trends were trending most on TikTok, and then figure out therefore which of their products would then sell best at that time. So they literally used it as a way of mapping out how to launch sales and what would make most profit. So for example, when that girl was trending in New Year, they're going to release a lot more things that sort of assimilate with that girl, like let's say journals and like the Stanley cups or whatever, gym clothing, things like that, because they can see that's really great, gaining a lot of attention on TikTok. So it's literally used by businesses.
It promotes overconsumption so much, especially within these trends itself, like how to be a gym girl, or you need to buy this cup, you need to buy these leggings, you need to buy this and this, and you can all buy it on my TikTok shop, and it's all here for you to buy. And it promotes overconsumption, which then leads into the girl maths trend, because women justify buying all these things that they don't need with girl maths.
It's basically like commercialization of things that don't need to be commercialized. I didn't think of it like that, actually. The way, if you branch off the idea of the marketing, like they define these girl categories, these girl trends, based on what you own. It's really materialistic, actually.
Yeah.
So that's probably why it's considered a marketing strategy. But there was also a note of it in terms of the importance of finding community, and that was this idea that girls could go on TikTok, or women could go on TikTok, and sort of feel connected to other girls about the silly little things, or perhaps the very important things they were doing and they didn't know were normal, or like that someone else could relate to them. I think that was quite important. I mean, maybe that was me personally. There'd be things that I'd be like, oh, that's hilarious, or like, oh, I did that, I didn't know it was like a girl thing, which is nice, but is it genuine, or is it people trying to become TikTok famous? That's the downfall of it. But that, I think it's, as much as it could be seen as a marketing strategy or these trends, it can also be seen as just like girls trying to find other girls.
Yeah.
And that's quite simple. I think that's also like quite humane. Like, not everything has to be commercialized on TikTok, even though in recent, especially in the last few months, like that is the case. But I think when these girl trends started, it was probably also a way of finding each other.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like it definitely started in that way of building a sense of community, but just as with so many things, eventually it does become commercialized, and then it's hard to tell whether this is like a genuine relation, like genuine thing that's happening, or whether it's someone trying to make money off of you. And it can be both, but I feel like at the start it was more that sense of community.
Yeah. And people, I saw like something that credited the Barbie movie for like these trends, and how we spoke about this last week, how Barbie brought a lot of women together in 2023. It was a nice moment of community, of, you know, being women amongst other women, and that sort of led to these girl trends perhaps gaining more traction, because it sort of perpetuates that, you know, women finding women. But is that necessarily a good thing? That's what we're yet to talk about.
And let's talk about some of the dangers of these trends and whether they're harmful or not. So first of all, girl maths. It started being a funny way for women to relate to each other, thinking, oh, I do that as well, I have the same perception of money. But when you really look into it, it's again like belittling women and making them seem like they're stupid and that they have no knowledge of finances, which obviously is untrue and a bad stereotype to perpetuate.
Yeah, I just think something about girl math specifically is really bad. I think also because it plays into the stereotype that girls aren't good at, like, still very male-dominated areas, like the STEM area. That's why we have the women in STEM thing. Like, I think girl maths just continues the idea that we are incapable of doing these calculations, which is kind of silly. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm terrible at maths, but that doesn't mean I'm going to use that as an excuse. Like, oh, I'm a girl, I can't do maths. I'm just not good at it.
Yeah, I'm not that good at maths, but I'm also good at budgeting. Like, I know how to save money. I know where I should be spending my money.
Yeah, and that's a good point. That it's being bad or good at maths isn't necessarily related to, like, shopping and spending money.
And it just, once again, like, perpetuates the idea that women have spending addictions, all women want to do is shop, while men go, they have their money, they invest their money, they're bankers, they know what to do with their stuff, and women are out in the shops, or buying tickets, or buying expensive bags. And, like, we were reading an article from Glamour, and it says, these ideas hark back to a time where men were the only ones earning money and the wives were frivolous spenders propping up the economy by buying clothes and lipstick, which I think is so true, because even now you can still feel the gender divide, especially when you start gendering terms like maths, because then it just separates men and women again so much.
I completely agree with you, but just to play devil's advocate, do you not think that they're almost you could see it as like reclaiming the narrative? Because you make the point that that's what history was once like. Now, if we make it into a trend, if we make it like a normalised thing, or, you know, I like to do this, then like it doesn't mean that you're any lesser than men, for example. Do you think they're sort of flipping that idea around?
I guess in a way you could say that, because even if women are just spending their money on handbags and lipstick, but that's fine, you can do that. I feel like that's a fine thing to do with your money if you can and if you want, and that shouldn't be demonised for women enjoying spending money that they've earned. But then at the same time, some of the trends that go with that, like explaining the economy for the girls, going back to that idea, it just implies that women don't know what to do with their money, which is a dangerous thing to say, because then it again puts women at a disadvantage if it's implied all the time that they don't know how to handle their own money.
I think this is like a good time to throw in this quote that I found in a Cosmopolitan article. That says, engendering some behaviours, we are reinforcing that it is unusual for women to occupy these spaces. So if you see that from a financial perspective or like a public sphere perspective, if women are just shopping and justifying it because they want to spend money, again, it just, it, like what you were saying earlier, it separates us completely from men. I completely agree with you. I was just, you know, playing devil's advocate. Is it reclaiming? Is it mocking? But I don't think it is. And even if it is, I think it fails to do that,
yeah,
because of the downsides of it.
You can see what they're trying to do,
yeah,
but it's not really working, I don't think.
But is that specific to Girl Math, or like are there other examples we could talk about that perhaps this isn't true for?
What, like Girl Dinner?
Yeah, let's talk about Girl Dinner. Girl Dinner's a good one.
So I feel Girl Dinner, some of the harmful aspects that could come from it is that they are glamorising certain eating habits that shouldn't be glamorised, saying, oh, this is my girl dinner. When you say dinner, you think proper full meal, and it's girls just having few strawberries, few crackers, bit of cheese, and being like, this is my girl dinner. Or sometimes it's even worse than that. Sometimes it's like a vape, you were saying, or a Diet Coke, and that's it, and that's our girl dinner. Even if it's a joke, it's still making it out like these things are funny, when in reality they're not funny. And
no, they're harmful.
Kind of things shouldn't be joked about so freely and openly on the internet. Mm-hmm. Even if that sounds like, oh, such a snowflake comment, a lot of modern eating disorders and a lot of things like that do derive from social media.
100%, especially considering the influence social media has on young people. Think about like how young people are now on TikTok. Like, why I wasn't on social media until I was what, like 14, 13. Nowadays they're on it when they're like 7.
To be fair, I was on social media when I was a lot younger, because I had an older sister. I think I got Instagram in about year 4.
But the
only people I had on Instagram were other people in my class.
Okay.
So, and I wasn't, like, I even remember I wasn't exposed to anything bad because I only had Instagram, but I feel like with TikTok, it's opened so much more to being exposed to
definitely
bad things.
That just be your point. It's still relevant, the fact that, like, it continues, like, nowadays, the access, not only are people younger, but the access to that media is so easy, available, and they just, that's the problem. So, it's bad in that sense. But, again, playing devil's advocate, some of the girl dinner things I thought were hilarious.
Yeah.
And I was like, I saw ones like that. I was like, that's not funny. Like, just, you shouldn't glamorise that. But I saw ones that I was like, oh, I spoke about the cheese one. That's something I do. I eat cheese out the bag. Like, that was good. Or, like, something really random, like when you, like, eat olives out of the container.
Yeah.
Yeah, things like that, fine. So I think... Yeah, but then I guess the downside of it is it can be really, really harmful. Mm. I also think it's kind of interesting to think about the fact that none of the things that the people, these trends are about, are actually specific to girls. Like, exactly. us eating cheese out of a bag, boys do that, I'm sure. And why do we have this, like, girl trends? I've never, ever seen a boy one, ever. But to be fair, I guess it's algorithm. I don't know why I get one.
I've seen some boy dinners.
That's it.
But, that like, not as many, and no one's explaining to boys how to make financial decisions.
Or, you know, how World War II happened.
Yeah, or explaining, like, Russia and Ukraine for the girls. I know how to read. I can turn on the news and read these things for myself. I don't need a 20-year-old girl on TikTok explaining it using like Gossip Girl as an analogy or something.
Mm.
Like, it's so, it makes me feel dumb.
Like, these things are very, very normal things, which I think is interesting, that they feel the need to put a girl label in front of it, and then by feminizing it, they sort of, they create this narrative that girls can't do very, very normal things. We have to do it in our own way, yeah. Which is so silly. Like, I remember seeing, like, girl DIY. The way I hammer a nail into a wall is no different than anyone else would do it. Like,
yeah.
Regardless of what gender you are. It's so, like, weird.
It is. And stuff like that links to gendered products. Like, you could talk about the pink tax and stuff with that. Like, women's razors, men's razors, do the same thing. One's pink and it's £2 more. Do you know what I mean? It's that kind of idea that when something has the label of being for a woman, it's different. It's like men is the standard, men's the normal, and the women, oh, we need to change things for them. We need to do it slightly differently because they're not as intelligent, they're not as strong, they're not as capable. Even if companies don't say that explicitly, that's kind of how you can feel when you think a lot into it.
Not relevant, but I feel like this is a really good time to mention it. When I was like doing a presentation once for Feminist Society at my old school, I did a bit of research on the fact that companies and clothing brands make women's clothes a lot less durable with the intent and the knowledge that they want women, they know that women will and they want them to buy more of their clothes. But boys who are, let's say, they think are less likely to buy clothes like repeatedly or like as often, they make them really, really durable, and they do this from like a very, very young age. Like, when we're like toddlers, yeah. The shoes you wear, the onesies, that like things like that. It's not relevant at all, but it's just like this idea that you were talking about there.
I think it is relevant because it shows how, not even in these specific TikTok trends, but in society as a whole, has like forced it for women and men to be viewed differently in this way.
Yeah, especially in terms of like very normal things, like the things we buy, things we do. I'm gonna keep going with this idea, in that sense that by like feminizing these really normal activities, it kind of reminds me of this. I read this thing about the way we're brought up compared to girls compared to boys, for example, and how, let's say, we play with dolls and boys play with trucks and dinosaurs,
yeah.
And they're very much involved in, like, I'm not gonna say real things, but like more, I don't know, like I think they expect young girls to sort of invent these fantasy worlds for like cute little dolls and stuff, and play dress up. It's all like sort of pretend. But boys are like driving around racing cars with their hands, and it's a lot more engaging, let's say more real life, more life centred. And that's the idea that we can't be part of like the normal world. I think that like it carries into this girl trend that if we want to like, let's say, play with these cars, we have to do it in a girl way.
Yeah.
Like, I think it roots down really deep into the way society genders us, I think. Which is why I think it's so dangerous, because it just creates this gender binary, like, separation thing.
And you say about women having to, well, young girls having to create their own fantasy worlds. I feel like that even relates back to the TikTok trends, because you see so many mood boards and, like, videos of beautiful images of women on Pinterest and, like, these luxurious lifestyles. Like, this is the lifestyle that women want to have. Of course, like you were saying, TikTok algorithm probably wouldn't show me a male version, but you just see so many for women of this idealistic lifestyle that's almost a fantasy that is unachievable, yet that's what was shown a lot.
So this girl trend is almost like it's removing us from the fantasy, but in doing so, it sort of shapes our what is considered normality as something we're like still removed from.
Yeah.
I don't know how to phrase it.
No, I agree. So as we were talking about girl trends in our childhood and things, we could talk about how it's affected our lives and how we perceive these trends in like day to day. No. So for me, when I was younger, I loved Lego. Lego was like my favourite toy, but I'd play with Lego friends. That's the girl version of
I
Lego.
I loved Lego. That's actually so interesting that we had like a whole other type of Lego for Lego. Girls.
There was Lego, and then there was Lego friends. And it was like, the normal Lego was Lego City, and like...
I loved Lego friends. I had like a whole empire of Lego friends.
The cruise ship. The cruise was my
always wanted the cruise ship. I remember my favourite one was Olivia's house.
Yeah.
That was a good one. And I had the swimming pool.
I had the tree house.
Oh, that's a good... Anyway, that's really... No, go on, please.
Yeah, because we'd be encouraged to like those kind of Legos. And that's what I'd have when I was... I don't know how old I was. Maybe 7 to 10. Then when I got older, even now, I have to admit, I do like Lego. Now the Lego I have is like Star Wars Lego, personally. And it shows that... It's not like my parents were purposefully giving me the girl Lego. Like, that is what I would have asked for. It's just, why was I asking for the girl Lego? You know, I knew I was a girl. I knew I could have any Lego I wanted. Yet, I always went for the girl Lego. Then when I got older, I wasn't like a tomboy, but I kind of wanted to be one, I guess. I don't know. And I love Star Wars, so I'd always get the Star Wars Lego, which, you know, is traditionally boy Lego. If you're gendering it. And it just is interesting that even as a child, I would have picked the girl version, even though my parents wouldn't have cared if I had the boy version. It's just so ingrained in our society that even being as young as like 5, the toys you want are the girl toys. And I think that linking this to the TikTok trends now, like gym girl, clean girl, you're still pushed towards certain trends and made to believe that you need that aesthetic and that's for you. Just as when I was younger, I was pushed to believe that the girl Lego was for me. Now I'm being pushed towards this similar trends, but in a TikTokified way. And yeah, it just shows how influential social media can be. Especially with TikTok and the algorithm, and it's so aligned to who you are and what you are watching. And I think although a lot of it is good, creating a sense of community, as we said before, I feel overall it's harmful, and there's no need to be categorising women or anyone or anything in such specific ways.
I think there are harmful things about it, about certain parts of it and not all of it, because I actually personally quite enjoyed having this whole like this. It did to me feel like a community. It did to me feel like a nice way to connect with people about things that you wouldn't necessarily think about on your daily basis. But obviously, there are parts of it that we discussed that are really dangerous. And if you're like putting a tone behind it that's really demeaning and belittling, then it's obviously bad. But there would be I don't think the girl dinner trend was that harmful, let's say in the context of like gendering like spaces that women can exist. I don't think that's the thing. Yeah. But and there are other things like how to relieve period cramps for the girls, like things like that, perfectly helpful to me. Especially if they weren't advertising anything that they were like pushing me to buy. It was like, oh, like, this is what I did, or like, I mean. I think there are parts of it that are really helpful and really important, especially because women, you know, like what Barbie did, it brings women together. But like there, sometimes it gets taken too far. But I want to also speak about like you spoke about like you growing up. I feel like that was an interesting narrative to put on this episode, and I kind of empathise with what you were saying. Like when I was growing up, I kind of wanted to be a tomboy, and to be honest, I kind of was. I did things that you would stereotypically consider to be quite boy-centred, so I'd played football and I went to Scouts rather than Brownies, so I thought it was cooler than going to Brownies. And, I mean, I had Lego friends and I love my dolls, but also, like, I don't know, I consider myself to be a bit more tomboyish, but I was kind of aware of that. I think I was growing up and I wanted to have that, I don't know, because it's, I think maybe you might relate to this, it was the idea that you needed to be different.
I totally agree.
You needed to stand out, I think it's because we all wanted a seat at that table when we were growing up. We wanted that to be recognised and acknowledged by the boys. I went to a mixed primary school, but I went to an all-girls school after that. And I think the difference I saw with that, with like my development when I was growing up, was that when you're in an environment of all girls, you're not fighting in the same way if you're in a mixed environment. It's different, which I think is really interesting. And that's why I think the girl trend was quite impactful for me, because I'd gone from a mixed environment, all girls environment, to a mixed environment again. And I'd forgotten what it was like to have that sort of safety net of an all girls environment, which I think can be really beneficial, but also it can be really awful. Like, my old girls' school was equally as much hell as it was really, really nice. Yeah. And that's sort of like the double-edged sword again of these girl trend. I think when girls are amongst girls, they can encourage really bad behaviours, but at the same time, they can, you know, facilitate really nice communities and bonding.
Yeah.
So I just think that trend to me sort of assimilates with a girl, a non-mixed environment and a single-gendered environment.
Yeah. And I feel like what you were saying about, like, when girls put together in that way, like, in a school setting, it can be bad and it can be, like, toxic almost. So much of that is down to society's expectation of girls and the stereotypes that come with teenage girls and things.
But I want to centralise now on our perception of one specific trend, which is the I'm just a girl trend. So they use the song by No Doubt, which is, I don't even want to sing it. Let me find the clip. So yeah, it basically just, I don't know, it depicts women doing everyday things, saying I'm just a girl. But it was also like a way of talking about really girls overcoming really difficult situations. I saw when I was rising my A-levels, like, I'm just a girl, like, how the hell am I meant to learn all this history content? That was so real. But not in the sense that it was like, oh, like, I can't learn all this history content because I'm a girl. It was just like, oh, like, help me.
Yeah,
how am I going to learn all this content? But then there are completely polar opposite ones that are like using this as an excuse for everything and like really toxic behaviours. Like, oh, I will, like, let's say, cheat on my boyfriend with his best friend, but it's fine because I'm just a girl. Like,
yeah,
that it was used as a justification for things that I, well, personally, if you think that's okay, then fine. But I would consider like not to be something to be justifying or to be assigning to your gender specifically. Exactly. Either, because it like doesn't paint a good picture of all women, not just you.
And the song itself, I got a quote here from Gwen Stefani about what she wrote the song about, and it says...
Is Gwen Stefani the singer, No Doubt?
Yeah, oh my gosh,
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's Gwen Stefani.
No way. So yeah. Was No Doubt before she became...
Yeah.
Oh, right.
It was... No Doubt was, like, the 90s, and then her first album was, like, the 2000s.
I did not know she was around that long. Anyway, go on, yeah.
Yeah, she's quite old, but still beautiful.
She is... Not just a girl.
Not anymore. So she said, I wrote that because my dad got mad at me for going to Tony's house and driving home late at night. I mean, come on, I'm like going on 30 here. I wouldn't trade being female, but I really don't think guys understand what a burden it can be sometimes. I mean, that's quite interesting, saying it's a burden, because I agree with it. Even though I love being a girl, being a woman, whatever, that obviously... drawbacks to that. And in part of the song she says, I'm just a girl in the world, that's all that you'll let me be. I'm saying I'm just a girl again, it goes back to the idea it's not women dinner, it's not women maths, it's girl maths, it's girl dinner. That's all that society will let women be, a girl. And she really shows that in this song.
I think that's quite an interesting point, though, the idea of, like, being a burden. Like, I remember when my parents came up to visit, they were like, oh, no way you're going to walk back at, like, 8 o'clock in the evening. It's going to be really dark. That's crazy that, like, you can, like, send your son on his way peacefully in the dark, but women, the minute sun sets, you're just, you can't walk with headphones on, keys in your hand kind of thing. That's a whole, I mean, that's not, like, this is, you know,
yeah,
a heavy issue that isn't, necessarily relevant to TikTok trends, but it, like this song, this trend makes that point that we are defined almost by our restrictions, our confinements.
Yeah.
That is interesting in the fact that not only can we not be part of these normal spaces, we are confined to our definitive spaces that are not like part of it. And then in that is the idea of being just a girl and yeah. what being just a girl entails.
And linking to that, another line in the song is, oh, I'm just a girl, what's my destiny? What I've succumbed to is making me numb. And it's, we've become normalised to the idea, like you were saying, oh, walking home alone in the dark on your own, not good. Need to be careful when you're doing that. Like, we've become numb to that idea. Like, how is that, how have we come to accept that as society? Well, not accept it, but it's become so normalised in society. We're numb to these quite harmful stereotypes and harmful ideas that are still around.
And we're numb to these trends because, like, until you said to me, oh, we should do a podcast on this, like, that's a good idea, I've never sat back and thought about how much girl content I consume and the impacts it might have yeah. on me. Because I'm always just like, oh, that's jokes, that's funny, I do that. But actually, it's not funny that I'm, that like being good at being bad at maths is now a gendered thing.
Yeah.
Or using it to excuse your financial spending. Like, it isn't. And I think that's quite important at the same time.
And I feel like a lot of the reason it's become so, oh yeah, haha, that's funny, because I do the same thing, I think, oh, this is entertaining, this is funny, is the format we're seeing it in, because TikTok, it's so quick, it's just video after video after video. When I was younger, like maybe 9 or 10, I'd just watch YouTube videos all the time, which obviously are quite a bit longer. I'd watch Zoella and stuff like that. Those kind of videos do show similar ideas of girl this, girl that. But when I feel like, because TikTok is such short form videos, you have less time to process it, less time to think about it, and you're just like, haha, that's funny. And
yeah.
harder to develop opinions and ideas about things, which is so sad because now everything's just so short and everyone's got short attention spans. But that's a problem for another day.
Definitely a problem for another day. But I think that's actually quite interesting that we've been influenced by, let's say, female influencers for a very long time, and like the girl trend is still very new in that yeah. sense. Like, why is it such a big thing now? I don't know. I mean, we spoke about it, like the marketing, the finding community, the impact of Barbie, but I still will never completely understand, even despite whether it's good or bad, why it's so insanely popular.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. And also, there are other things we didn't talk about. Like, there are just other normal things, like the idea of like Hot Girl Summer.
Yeah.
And Hot Girl Walks. Hot Girl Walks is actually crazy to me. Like, how are you like making it into a thing that
yeah.
that you're going for a walk every day? Like, well done. That's good for your mental health. But that's very normal. Like, yeah. why is it like going for a walk of your own accord is something that's assigned to being a hot girl? So, the next thing they're gonna be like, having my hot girl shower. Okay.
But then you
that's just general hygiene.
Then you look at everything showers, which are trending on TikTok.
Okay, everything showers, I completely understand. That's something I personally love the idea of. Like, when that became a trend, I was like, yeah, I needed this to become a trend. I do that. That's I completely think is fair. But it's like they're not necessarily assigning that to there's nothing bad about that. There's nothing gendered about that, in my opinion. It's just like, oh yeah, I think a lot of girls do that.
Yeah, I feel like it is gendered, but not like
not in a bad way. Yeah, it's not demeaning. Like, oh, I have an everything shower. Yeah. Oh no,
it's just like state of relaxation, I guess.
Yeah, and also it's like you get everything done. You know, sometimes I have an everything bath.
Oh, I hate baths.
What do you mean? How do you hate baths?
I know it sounds stupid, but I just get too hot in a bath.
What?
And then
you just need a cup of cold water next to you.
That's so true. But
we don't even have a bath here. I think we can make a bath though. Like, I don't think it would go very well though. Anyway, we're really going on a tangent here.
Why did we get a bath?
So let's wrap things up on that note.
We can. So I think overall, if you look at the TikTok trends, you look at the girl maths, girl dinner, that girl. On the surface, they do seem quite beneficial, quite simple. But when you look into them, as we have done today, I feel like overall they are quite harmful. What do you think, Tammy?
I think they are harmful, especially because we've sat down and analysed them so much. But I think it's also quite good to acknowledge that when you're watching them, you're not necessarily cognitively processing the dangers of them that much. So I think as a concept, it's bad. As a concept for women, for feminism, for position of us in society, it is bad. I do think, however, often when you're consuming it in terms of the media, it doesn't have that much of an impact on you.
Yeah, I agree.
But when you sit down and analyse it and think about it, it doesn't paint a good picture. However, there are obviously things that we spoke about, like some of the girl dinner trends that were particularly harmful. And the commercialisation of it is what's really bad. The fact that it's like, it's now a way of making people buy things and investing in ideas that aren't necessarily like there's too materialistic in my eyes. But I also do, like, I will stand by the fact that I think it has been quite important in establishing a community and a way of girls finding other girls.
Yeah.
I think that is important, but I also don't think this is necessarily a good way of going about it.
Yeah, because I feel like TikTok especially, so much of the content that you consume just washes over you. How many of the TikToks I watched yesterday, and I can say I watched a lot. I watched a lot of TikToks yesterday. How many of them can I picture in my brain and imagine exactly what was said?
Next to none.
I'm really struggling. Other than ones that people have sent me, I can't really think of any that I saw at all, which is so bad.
They were just making me think about TikToks that I've sent you. But I completely agree. And that's the point that we were just discussing, that I think it can't be too harmful, too directly harmful, because TikTok users are so, like, brain-dead when they're using TikTok. Yeah. Also, this, I feel like this is a TikTok hate page. It isn't, but, like, also, let's acknowledge the fact that TikTok is really, really bad for you.
Yeah.
Especially, and as is this trend, as are a lot of other trends as well, unfortunately. But, yeah, I think 2023 was the year of the girl. And I think it has died down a lot more than it was last year. But I do think it will always be there. Like, as we said, we used to have the impact of female influencers. We had the categorising of different types of girl. And that has been around for yonks so long. And I think it will continue to exist because of what we discussed, because of the fact that it's ingrained into the way we're brought up and the way that we're treated and things like that.
Yeah. So I feel like we've covered everything on this trend and I have no further comments. So thank you for listening. Tune in to us next week and to the other podcasts on Purple Radio. And thank you.
Purple Radio Podcasts.
Thanks for downloading this Purple Radio podcast. For more great content and to listen live, head to purpleradio.co.uk.